joined us here today as we've gathered to worship. We've got a lot to do today. I have a lot of things I want to share with you as we kind of regather and some steps that are next week and this week. So I want to take some time to kind of loop you in and make sure you're well aware of things and the progress we're making. Before I start, let me talk about the television. This TV was put here so when the Cowboys play at noon, it automatically starts. All right? Let me talk about this for a minute. So one of the things I always want to be doing, and we need to be doing is, always evaluating and seeing if we are doing all we can to communicate effectively. Are there things we can do better to communicate even more effectively in person and also online? And so as we're kind of looking at that, we have a lot of people that still join us online, and we're grateful. We still have a lot of people, that just aren't quite comfortable yet coming back, and we certainly understand that, that you need to come back when you're ready, no question about that. And so as we just have evaluated this time, obviously, with COVID, it's caused us to look at a lot of things. One is our online presence and effectiveness and the worship service itself. And so as we were doing that, one of the things I've noticed and just talking with people, too, is that typically back, if you think back, when you probably were watching online back in March, April, when I share a scripture verse, if you're watching online, the whole screen, comes up on your TV, on your phone, on your iPad, whatever it may be. Not necessarily a bad thing, but every time that happens, sometimes I'll stop in the middle of reading it and preach it, right? And then the screen sometimes is still on, comes off, and then I back and forth, so it's kind of hard to follow me sometimes on that. But also, every time we do that, it takes our online audience kind of out of this worship experience, right? Every time we do that. And then, if I stay on that verse, you guys have these, but there's no continued reference, if you will. And so, that being the case, so we wanted to try this, and the first two services have gone well, and we're going to evaluate it. Well, I'm just trying it. We may keep it, we may not, as we talk with our online people to see if it's more of an effective way to communicate. So typically then when I use the first takeaway, the first scripture, after I read that scripture is going to stay up there the whole time until I move to the next scripture. So online people will see that scripture the whole time. So if I'm referencing or going back, just like you're going to see it up here. So this probably, if you're sitting here, you probably look at that instead of the screens over here, over the sides. We know mostly it's these screens here. So that's the purpose of this. It's hoping to increase the effectiveness of our online ministry as we, share the gospel, as we advance the gospel. It allows the scriptures to stay up even longer and the takeaways. So we're going to see how that goes. And if you're interested in it, later on today or tonight, you can go back and watch a playback on YouTube, and you can kind of see, as we've done the first two services, the shot that they have coming in right now is they can see that TV clearly right here. And so everything I'm teaching, they'll be engaged fully with us. So that's kind of the genesis there and why we're doing that. And we're going to try it for a few weeks and see. I mean, I may start running into this thing four or five times. If I did, it's got to go. So we're going to see how that goes. All right, second, Kids Zone, our Kids Zone ministry, preschool children's ministry, in-person, on-campus, regathers next Sunday morning. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God for that, right? Been since March. Been a long time. And so we believe that, now's the time and we can safely regather. Julie Richardson, Wendy Roscoe, Christy Dorman have been leading well, preparing for this day for quite some time. And they have a process in place, a procedure. You as parents, you'll be getting a video from Julie. She'll push that out soon of what to expect when you come next Sunday, because there is a different process. As you come into the building, they have lined that out to make sure it's safe for you, for your kids. They will communicate that to you this week, exactly what to expect. Also, if you are going to be coming with your kids, so we'll have the preschool children's ministry at 9:30 and 11 o'clock. Holding off on the 8 right now just because we feel like we need that space and let's start slow and see how it goes. That being the case, if you're going to bring your kids next week, let me encourage you. We need you to sign up. Sign up and let us know. This right here, kidzonesignup.com. So if you go there, you have a chance to sign up for the 9:30 or the 11 o'clock. But we are having to limit class size. Okay, so again, we're taking this step, but we have to do it safely, you know, and so we want to make sure we know how many are coming and class size, and so we are limiting class size. So if you can sign up and let us know you're coming, that will help us a great deal as we prepare for next Sunday morning. Okay, so it'll be a, we're looking forward to it. Exciting times as we regather our preschool children's ministry. And then let me mention on Wednesday night, coming up this Wednesday, our students will be regathering for their midweek ministry. And also our adult discipleship groups, new classes that are starting on Wednesday night. If you go to our website, gracepointdenton.com, go to our website and click down on the ministries from discipleship to students, even preschool children, all the information, the times, the classes, all that information is listed there, okay? So let me encourage you to go check that out. So that starts Wednesday night, this Wednesday night, our adult discipleship Wednesday night ministry, our student weekday ministry, and then next Sunday morning, we'll have our preschool children. They'll be regathering. Our small groups, adult discipleship, will also be regathering. So patience, I think, is the key word. If you have kiddos over there next week, as we, you know, work through this process of signing them in, checking them in, a different way to drop them off and a different way to pick them up. But we believe that's going to be the safest way to do it. So we're looking forward to that. That's to next Sunday. And then also, let me mention just a couple other things. Stay with me. Greeting ministry. So, you know, I think greeting ministry is a big deal. I've said that before, made a big deal of it. It is important. If you are a part of that, Jeff, I'm sure, has reached out to you by now, and there'll be a meeting here in the worship center after the third service to talk about details of next Sunday morning as we regather everybody on campus. So if you're part of that greeting ministry here after the third service. Now, as I said in the other two services, if you're not a part of it yet, but you'd like to connect or you'd like more information, you can certainly come, stay for the meeting, talk with Pastor Jeff. He'll share with you the details of our greeting ministry and the opportunities that there are to serve. So that's a super important ministry, and they're gathering after the third service just to get on the same page and get some instruction from Jeff about next Sunday morning. All right, and then I want to mention this last thing before I jump into the message, last but not least, for sure. Very important to me and I think to us as a church. So North Texas Giving Day, a giving day that is for nonprofit organizations and nonprofits ministries, is coming this Thursday, September the 17th. What I would like you to do, and I shared this in the first two services, is I would like you to pray about, on that day or even before that day, you can do it at any time, giving to Camp Copus, that we, all of us, as a church, that we give. We pray about giving and supporting Camp Copus. Now, you know Camp Copus. I love Camp Copus. I've been going to Camp Copus for 28 years, I think, now. Known Denise and Brad for probably 25. Brad and Denise Springer, who are members of Grace Point. Brad is the camp director. Denise out there giving all of her, everything she has to that camp for years, too. They lead that camp, and they've done so for 20-something years now, I think 25 years maybe. We take our children's ministry out there. We couldn't this year, but our children's ministry, our youth have been out there, our adults have been out there, our staff's been out there. We use Camp Copus a lot, and they have ministered to thousands of people. Now, this has been a hard summer for Camp Copus. June, July, and August are the months that they need to really, I would just say, to survive, man. They need... They run hard, week after week in that summer. Well, this year, as you know, with COVID, I mean, people didn't want to come to camp. And so their numbers were drastically different. And talking to Brad a couple weeks ago, you know, he shared that with me, and that their revenue, giving and sense of camps and what they get is down 90%. This year, 90%. So they've had to make a lot of adjustments. So this is a great opportunity for us as Grace Point Church to come alongside Camp Copus, Brad and Denise Springer. A camp and two people, Brad and Denise, that have given their heart and soul and everything they are to people for years and years and years. And this is a chance for us to come and to give back to them and to support them. And to we want this camp to keep going. I know the Lord will provide, but, you know, he uses us help meet those needs, right? So So would you do me a favor? Would you go sometime this week? It's Thursday's the day, but you can do it anytime. I've talked with Brad, and I think the easiest way is if you go to campcopas.com, which I did, and it's on that homepage, and you can see it. Donate here and give to Camp Copas. Would you do that? Would you do that between now and Thursday? And let's just rally around them and show them support. It's an unbelievable ministry. Thousands of kids, and kids get saved every year at that camp. Adults, it's an amazing ministry, and we want the opportunity to come alongside them, support them in every way we can, all right? Share the word. Camp Copas. Support Camp Copas and give from North Texas Giving Day, okay? All right, let's jump into this. Oh, last thing I got to mention here. Yeah, I got to talk about this. Man, this next week, welcome home. Look, I'm not above giving away free T-shirts next week. You can come back. All right, so everybody who comes next week, free T-shirt says welcome home. It's got the Grace Point logo, and then on the back, it's got gracepointden.com. It's a great way to advertise a little bit the church. So next week, that's kind of, you're going to see that a lot this week with our staff as we push stuff out. Welcome home. We want you to come home now and bringing everybody back on campus, and we're going to celebrate that we're all coming back home, and we want to welcome you back. And so we're giving away T-shirts, and you're going to see that throughout this week on Facebook. Welcome home. Come back. Be a part of our services next Sunday as we all regather together. I'm looking forward to it. Okay, let's jump into this thing, man. That's a lot of announcements right there. But let's jump into this message in Colossians chapter 1. I'm going to start verse 17 and 18. But if you're taking notes, okay, we're learning about who he is. Jesus. Who is he? Paul, Colossians 1:15. This is who Jesus is. Takeaway number one, he is God. We learned about that. Takeaway number two, he is creator. Takeaway number three, he's the main thing. Takeaway number four, he is sustainer. He sustains you in life, man. We learned that last week. And then takeaway number five, verse 18. Let me read it. I'll start in 17. And he is before all things. Talking about Jesus now. And in him all things hold together. That was last week. Sustainer. Verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. And we'll stop right there. Next week, we're going to talk about that. What does that mean, this word preeminent? What does that mean? Why must he be? How do I do that? Make sure he is preeminent in everything. In everything. In the church. That's the meaning of he is the head of the church. He's preeminent. Head of the church. So takeaway number five, that's what we're talking about today. Jesus, he is the head of the church. Now certainly church in terms of the body of believers, the body of Christ, all the brothers and sisters throughout the world, the church. But I'm gonna really focus in on Grace Point Church today. That he is the head of this church. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. So when Paul says that Jesus is the head of the church, he means to tell us that Jesus is sovereign. He's the ruling authority over all of his people, over us, as well as the source from which we derive all our spiritual power and sustenance. He is the head over us. He is the ruling, sovereign authority over us, at this church, in our lives, personally, corporately. So to say he is the head is to say then, when you say that, it's to say that we bow, that you bow as an individual, that we bow as a church to his, Jesus, sovereign rule. One writer says, Jesus is the inspiring, ruling, guiding, combining, sustaining power of the church, the mainspring of its activity, the center of its unity, and the seat of its life. Now listen, look. If it weren't for Jesus, the local church would just be like some organized club you're a part of, or a book club, or something like that. Some other organization, if it wasn't for him, it would just be a gathering, a club together at, or a group. But the last part of Grace Point Church, it's the last part that is the key to our identity in that second word, Grace Point Church. That's it. That sums up everything. We're not Grace Point Club. We're not Grace Point Child Care Agency. We're not Grace Point Self-Help Association. We're not Grace Point Convention Center. We are Grace Point Church. Amen? Church. And that is what, that's the key. And the Bible says that he is the head of the church.
So therefore, it should all flow from him, point to him. Because he's the head of the church, of this church. Everything that is or could be, for as long as it ever will be, is entirely pointing to Jesus, the eternal Son of God, the radiance of God's glory, the exact imprint of God's nature, the second person of the Holy Trinity through whom all things were made, the one who became God with us, God in human flesh, God the man, the last Adam, the offspring of Abraham, the line of Judah, the prophet like Moses, the root of Jesse, the descendant of David, the suffering servant, the hope of Israel, the Savior of the world. Everything exists for his glory, and everything should point to him. I want to share this with you. I do it once a year, so if you've been with me for a while, you've seen it probably the last 5 years. It's the same video, but it reminds us that everything in the scriptures, as we read, is pointing to one that is true and better.
The Bible is not a series of disconnected stories. It is a single narrative in which every story, every character points beyond itself to one who is greater. The story of Adam and Eve is not just about the first man and woman. There is a true and better Adam who passed the test in the garden and whose obedience is ascribed to us. There is a true and better Abel who, though innocently slain, has blood that cries out not for our condemnation, but for our acquittal. There is a true and better Abraham who answered the call of God to leave all the comfortable and familiar and go out into the void to create a new people of God. There is a true and better Isaac, the son of laughter, of grace, who was not just offered up by his father on the mount, but was truly sacrificed for us all. There is a true and better Jacob, who wrestled and took the blow of justice we deserve, so we, like Jacob, only receive the wounds of grace that wake us up and discipline us. There is a true and better Joseph, who at the right hand of the king forgives those who betrayed and sold him and uses his new power to save them. There is a true and better Moses who stands in the gap between the people and the Lord and who mediates a new covenant. There is a true and better rock of Moses who, struck with the rod of God's justice, now gives us water in the desert. There is a true and better Job, the truly innocent sufferer, who then intercedes for and saves his foolish friends. There is a true and better David, whose victory becomes his people's victory, though they never lifted a stone to accomplish it themselves. There is a true and better Esther, who didn't just risk losing an earthly palace, but lost the ultimate heavenly one, who didn't just risk his life, but gave his life to save his people. There is a true and better Jonah, who was cast out into the storm so that we could be brought in. There is a true and better Passover lamb, innocent, perfect, helpless, slain so the angel of death will pass over us. He's the true temple, the true prophet, the true priest, the true king, the true sacrifice, the true lamb, the true light, and the true bread. The Bible is not a series of disconnected stories. It is a single narrative that points to one person, Jesus.
And when you understand that, you do read the Bible differently, I think in a good way. the right way. That when you understand those stories, just an example of the Old Testament, that it's pointing to one that is true and better. It's pointing to Jesus. And through the New Testament, everything is pointing to Him. And so that's what we want to do at Grace Point Church. Why? Because He is the head of the church. Now, from that, we can draw some conclusions. We can draw implications. I want to share with you just four today. There are certainly many more, but I want to share with you four implications today of this truth that He is the head of the church. What difference does it make to you and I? What's the impact it has on us? And I'll speak probably specifically to Grace Point Church, to me, to you also, but the implications of this truth. Number one, here's the first one. The first implication of Jesus as the head of the body tells us then that Jesus is in charge of Grace Point Church. Ultimately, He's in charge. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. Jesus is in charge of Grace Point Church. So let's just be clear when it comes to who's in charge. I am not the head of the church. I am ultimately not in charge of the church. The elders are not the head of the church. The staff is not the head of the church. Jesus is the head of this church. Amen? Jesus is. Yes. Head of the church. He's in charge. Certainly, I have responsibility, and I'm not trying to run from my responsibility as pastor to lead and to do the things I'm supposed to do, but understand that at Grace Point Church, and should be every church, Grace Point Church, that He must be the head of the church. Look, listen, I do not change you. I don't do that. I can't do that. God transforms and changes you through His Word and by His Spirit. He does that. I don't do that. He is the head of the church. So my job, my responsibility, my calling, my pastoring is to encourage you. The best way I can encourage you is to connect you with one that is true and better, and then to step out of the way. He's in charge. Yes, I have responsibilities to teach and to lead and to preach and to point you to one that is true and better. But without Him, I wouldn't even be able to do that. He sustains me. He sustains us. So a church, this church, any church, can never be about a person or a pastor or a personality. It cannot be about a building, about a program, about camps. It cannot be about marketing. It cannot be about great worship. All of those things are extremely important. We should do them with excellence. But they are not the main thing. The church must always, first and foremost, be about the supremacy of Jesus. Amen? Period. Don't get distracted, man. There's a lot of things the church does which are really great. And we need to with excellence. But that's never the main thing. He's the head of the church. He is the one in charge. Yes, all of these things are needed. Camps and marketing and ministry and buildings. We need those things. I'm not saying they're wrong. But they may not. That's not what we're first and foremost about. We first and foremost must be about Jesus as the leader in charge, all pointing to Him. For sure. Second, let me say this. We need Jesus. We need Him to be the ultimate leader. Ultimately, you know, when I say ultimate leader, I mean like ultimately. We need to lead. We have gifts. We have callings. I do. Elders do. Staff. You as leaders here, Grace Point. We have callings. We are to fulfill those callings I have with my life. That's my calling, certainly, no question. But ultimately, we need Jesus as the leader of this church. We are flawed, broken people. And our very best plan will never even come close to the plan that Jesus has for Grace Point. Amen? And your very best plan will not even come close to what Jesus has for you. And you come up with some good plans. I can too. But he must be leading ultimately. We don't just plan among staff and elders in our own minds and our own hearts. Yes, we use those minds that God has given us and the creativity. But we pray and we seek Jesus. And we say, what will point to Jesus? How will he be glorified through this? What does he want? Let's look into his word. Let's pray over this. He's the head of the church. So don't you think we need to consider the mind of Christ in this situation, in the church, or in your marriage, or in your job? Or he needs to be the ultimate leader. I mean, imagine a church without the power of God. Imagine a church where man-made plans are what people depend on, and Jesus is. We cannot exist without him. This is his church. He is the head of this church. Which takes me to my next one, number three. Jesus, the implication of this is that Jesus established the church and sustains the church. Jesus established it, and he sustains it. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 16. I'm going to go to, really just two more passages that are key to this implication that Jesus is the head of the church, okay, this truth and the implications that we're talking about. Jesus established the church and sustains the church. I want to go Matthew 16 first. So Peter is confessing the identity of Christ. Who do you say I am, Jesus says. And then verse 16, Peter says, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Verse 17. And verse 18, he's going to make two statements about the church. He's leading up to that. And Jesus answered him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock, and here's the key, so in my Bible, I've circled the word I will build my, that's circled also, my church. See that? I will build my. Jesus said that. He's talking about the church, not just one specific church. He's talking about the church throughout the world. This is his church. He is the head of the body. I will build my church. I mean, this church has grown and continues to grow and prosper because Jesus has done and continues to do that. Right here, we see this in verse 18. We see both parts of this statement are related to the supremacy of Christ. The first part is about the church's beginning. I tell you, you are Peter, and on the rock I will build my church. So there's the beginning, the genesis of it, the start of the church. And the second part is about him sustaining it. I will build my church, and here's the second part. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And that is him sustaining the church. You see, Jesus does that. And so we must keep that in full view, if you will, that he is the one that started the church. He is the one that sustains the church. He is the one that transforms us as part of this church. He is the one that grows the church. He does that. And so we must be careful. He is the head of the church. That glory, as I've said, never terminates this side of heaven. Now, here's the beautiful thing about it. The beautiful thing about it is he is the one ultimately the head of the church. He grows the church, transforms lives. But the beautiful thing about it is he, by his grace, has chosen to use us in that process. But we aren't the ones who make the change. We aren't the ones who grow the church. Ultimately, he does it. Let me give you an example. So we go to Jesus feeding the 5,000. I won't turn there, but I'll just summarize. Jesus feeding the 5,000. All the people have gathered. It's evening. They're hungry. They're tired. The disciples go to Jesus. I'm paraphrasing. They go to Jesus, and they say, hey, all these people here, tell them to go back home and find something to eat. We can't feed them all. And then as the story is recounted in Scripture, Jesus says, we can feed them in essence, and they get the loaves and the fishes and the loaves from the boy. And they bring those fishes and the loaves, and they give them, the Bible says they handed them to Jesus. Jesus takes them. He looks to heaven, blessing those. Then he puts them back, here it is, in the hands of the disciples. And the disciples go out, and they're feeding. They pass them out, right? And people are eating, and as the story is recounted, they all ate, and there was leftovers, right? So Jesus blessed. He put in the hands of the disciples, but he's the one who did the miracle. But the disciples literally, I think, passed those baskets out. Now, how about if at the end of that story, after all the 5,000 have been fed, the disciples kind of walk through the crowd with this attitude like, how about that? You see what we did there? You see that? We fed you. Look at me. Look what I did. Right? That's pride. They didn't do that. Are you kidding me? They could do nothing. They were ready to send them home because they knew without Jesus it was over. They couldn't do it. Don't get cocky. I don't change somebody. I'll counsel people all day long, but it's the transforming power of the Word of God, the Spirit of God that changes people's hearts. Not me. Not us. And as God uses Grace Point to bless the community through Coats the Cold or through Food Pantry or through, you know, a lot of other different things that we all have, you know, engaged and been a part of, which is great. But look, listen, hey, we know. It's God that does that. It's God that grows the church. So we must recognize pride comes before the fall, Proverbs chapter 16. So there's a spirit of humility, of recognition. I think Paul had that this is, he's the head of the church. He's the one that gets the glory. He is allowing me to be a part of it. But don't forget, while he, by his grace, allowed us to be a part of it, he's the one that still fed the 5,000. Not me. Just held the baskets, man. I just held the baskets and passed them out. So as we express the supremacy of Christ to an unbelieving world, we show the world the glory of God. As a church, we do that. Now, we do that in different ways. I think it is one way is through meeting needs of the unbelievers and of the community. No question that points to, again, ultimately. So look, so this is the discipline. So when we do that as a church, it doesn't end here. Grace Point Church did that. We do that so we can then, before an unbelieving world, point to the God who has provided us to be able to do that. I mean, why do I pray and ask God to fill these buildings and these parking lots and traffic jams and all these problems, growth problems, which we've had, praise God, and we'll get back there, but which we've had. It's not just so we can say, look at us. That is prideful, and God does not bless that. It's so we can, to an unbelieving world, introduce them to a God by grace through faith that will save them and give them eternal life. Amen? That's why I want to reach, I'm never going to, as long as I'm, you know, preaching and breathing, and I'm going to say we must reach more. More people need to hear that. You would agree with me, we have the greatest message ever to be told. Amen. You agree with that, right? Yes. And so we must boldly proclaim that. We must share that with as many as possible. Not to say, look at us, man. Say, look at God. God did that. He's the head of the church. He's the head of this church. We give glory to God. It's clear then that we're pointing to the glory of God through our acts of service, through our ministry. I think, and this is commentary, this is a side note opinion, I think many churches are dying today because they're not doing anything which the unbelieving world can look at and say that there's evidence that God is real and that he's glorious. The unbelieving world, And so that tends to happen when churches, my opinion, turn inward and focus more on themselves than they do the unbelieving world. Now look, I'm not saying we shouldn't disciple and do ministry to each other. We need to, no question about that. But sometimes if we're not careful, it can become all about us. And we're missing ours. I'll talk about it in just a minute. Our mission, where our focus. Many churches have forgotten why they exist. And when a church forgets that it exists for God and to minister to others, it becomes ingrown and self-satisfied, and it can go on year after year like a social club with a religious veneer. No different than club down at the city hall that's meeting. Jesus is out of it. So we must make certain that as we manifest and express that Jesus is head of the church, that we remember he established the church and he is the one that sustains the church. So let me give you this last one, and our time's about God is here. The Cowboys don't play till 7 tonight. That's fantastic. All right. Woo! No service after you guys. I've wanted to preach this point all morning. So here we go. The last one is this. Jesus must never be left outside the church. Jesus must never be left outside the church. Now I'm going to go Revelation 3, one of the seven churches, Church of Laodicea. Revelation 3, 14. Let me just start, verse 14. And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of God's creation. In verse 15, I know your works, you're neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Now verse 17, and I'm going to come back to this in just a minute. For you say, and this is the church, the people, he's saying, for the people in the church of Laodicea. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, poor, blind, naked. Verse 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined by fire, so that you may be rich in white garments, so that you may clothe yourself, and the shame of your nakedness may not be seen, and salve to anoint your eyes, so that you may see. So there needs to be repentance and humility. Verse 19, those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. That's what he's talking about. So be zealous and repent. He's telling them to repent. So verse 17, man, we got it all together. We look good. That's what he said, verse 17. Now he's telling them, you need to repent. Now look at verse 20, and a lot of people use this verse for sharing the gospel and to unbelievers, which is okay, but that's really not the context of what he's doing here. Behold, I stand at the door to knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him and he with me. All right, Jesus must never be left outside the church. So this church, Church of Laodicea, was a church, had a good reputation, man, in the community, outside, and I think even in. They felt good about themselves, verse 17, right? It was a church of relentless activity. They were very busy doing a lot of things. And I think apparent success. And they had this mark of confidence, evidenced by their self-assessment in verse 17. I am rich, I have prospered, and I need nothing. So Laodicea was a congregation that the visitors showed up. They'd probably look around and go, man, this place has it all. What more do they need? They've got everything here. Here is the great irony. And one of the most, I would consider for me personally, extraordinary passages and pictures in the Bible. Okay, here we go. Ready? That's the church of Laodicea. We're prospered. We're good. We need nothing. We everything's great. The great irony is this. For all of its fine reputation and this dazzling church that it was, Revelation 3:20 tells us that Jesus was standing outside of the church knocking on the door. You see that? We got it together, man. We don't need anything. People visit. Yeah, look at this church. And the Bible says that Jesus was knocking on the door of the church, and he's telling them to repent. And that's why I think it's one of the most extraordinary pictures in the Bible. Jesus outside of his own church knocking to get in. That's what that is right there. I know it's a text used to invite unbelievers to open their hearts to Christ, and that's fine. But the first application is not to believers. It is to the church. I mean, think about who's knocking on the door. He's the glorified Lord, the head of the church. And of all the great things they've done, they've left him out. Huh, wonder if that happens today. Yes, it does, Pastor. Christ loves the church, and without him, there would be no church to love. The life of Christ centers on the church. But in Laodicea, the life of the church did not center on Christ. And he said, repent. I'm standing outside knocking. I'm not in your church. It's kind of a scary thing. So he's outside knocking. So therefore, let me just... So three ways, and I'm not going to preach these. I'm just going to give them to you and then move on. Three ways we must make sure we must not keep him out of Grace Point Church. Three ways. Number one, here's the first. He must never be outside of our preaching and our teaching. From the weekday preschool that Emily Henson does a great job in leading, we're teaching Jesus, man. From the preschoolers to the children to the students to the small groups to this platform. He must never be outside our preaching and our teaching. And that's why, one of the reasons why I'm so passionate about this Colossians 1, and we've taken, you know, like 12 months for like four verses. Because this is Jesus, man. If you don't get this, you miss it all, man. You miss it all. He must never be outside our preaching and our teaching. So you hear much about the gospel, and you hear much about Jesus, and you hear much about pointing to him. You see a video, true and better, everything, because he is the head of the church. And at Grace Point Church, we do not want him outside knocking to get in his church. I put this on a sign on my desk because I read it a while back, a couple years ago, and it stuck with me. Don't ever attempt to overshadow the one you're preaching about. It's not about you when you're preaching. It is and only should be about Jesus, period. He must never be outside our preaching and our teaching. 1 Corinthians 2, so you can read that just time's sake. The second one, he must never be outside our mission. So go and make disciples of all nations, Matthew 28. So that is our mission. We don't want to get distracted or confused. That is our mission. So he must never be outside of our mission. And then third, Jesus must never be outside the fellowship of the church. It happens. 1 John 1:3. I'm big on connecting. I think you need to connect here. I want you to connect here. Relationships are biblical with community as believers in Christ. Jeff does faithfully, you know, a great job just connecting. These are the classes to give you to try to connect and get you connected. And I think that's important that we are finding fellowship here. No question about that. But understand this, last part, okay? Christian fellowship goes beyond doing life together. You can do that with your lost neighbors. I'm not saying you shouldn't, but Christian fellowship. Don't leave him outside of the fellowship of you as Christians. Christian fellowship goes beyond doing life together. It's about doing life together in Christ, with Christ, and for Christ. Bring him into that gathering. Bring him into that meeting. Bring him into that fellowship time. Find a way. Find a way, man. If you're leading it, find a way. You're not just getting together to get pizza and hang out. That's cool. That's good. That's all right. But I'm telling you, if we're talking about the fellowship of believers, don't leave him outside. The word fellowship literally means sharing in a common life. And so when Jesus lives in us, we share together in his life. We share, that's that commonality. So getting into a small group for fellowship is a marvelous benefit. Do it. And building supportive relationships is a huge blessing. But we must be careful to keep Christ at the center of our fellowship even. We don't want him outside knocking at the door. think sometimes we don't even realize it's happening. So, you know, we all just look in our own hearts and make sure he's not on the outside. If you finish with this last example, I'll finish. I've said that like 40 times right now. I apologize, kind of. Let's say you're going to the doctor. You pull up and you park and just get out of your car. You look around and you go, man, this is a nice area. Very well kept. I mean, flowers there, and bushes there, and it's really taken care of. I love this building. Nice building. You walk up the steps to the doctor's office. You open the door. When you walk in, you step in there, and man, they greet you from the moment you step in there. They call you by name. They say, it's good to see you. They're gracious, kind, loving people. I really like this place. This is a great doctor's office. These people are so gracious and nice. And the building inside is, wow, this is really nice. This is a nice building inside. And so they check me in, and then I'm going to walk over here to the waiting room, and they tell me, oh, well, hey, Mr. Smith, don't forget, you know, there's some coffee here, and there's some water if you're a coffee drinker. And have some coffee, and man, it's some good coffee, let me tell you what. Some good coffee. Get my coffee, and I walk over here, and I sit down. There's a lot of other people around here drinking their coffee. And before you know it, we start to have a conversation. Now, this is a pre-COVID illustration, okay? You know what I'm saying? Somebody said to me afterwards, it couldn't happen in real life because you're wearing masks. It's an illustration. And I'm talking to the people, and they're talking to them, and I can't believe I'm kind of connected with some of these people. As a matter of fact, some of these people, this one guy, is dealing with the same thing I'm dealing with. It sure feels good to know I'm not the only one in this world having to deal with that, because I thought I was the only person. This is the person over here, what they're struggling with. Man, I feel for you. I connect with all these people, man. This is a great place. About an hour passes, and then I'm all talked out. I get up, and I leave. And I get home, and Karen says, did you go to the doctor today? I said, yes, I did. She said, what did he say? I said, well, let me tell you about that, man. I'm going to tell you, that's the nicest building I think I've ever been in. It is a nice building, man. The chairs are super soft, too. The coffee, I don't drink coffee, but I tried it. I'm a coffee drinker now. It's so good, honey. Let me tell you that. And the people are gracious and kind. I even talked to someone who was struggling with the same thing I struggle with. And she says, and the doctor said what? Well, I didn't even see the doctor. I mean, I was starting to feel good just by what everybody was saying and connected, and so I just came home. And she said, the whole purpose you went was to meet with the doctor. See where I'm going? Hey, I care about our grounds. I want them to be nice. I want grass cut. I want things. It's important. Don't get me wrong. It's important. I care about having greeters out here. I want people to say, I know we're glad you're here. That's important. I care about the coffee. No, I really don't care about the coffee. I'm not a coffee drinker. I care about you being connected. I care about you feeling like family. I care about you feeling comfortable when you come here and wanting to come and connect with people who might be struggling with what you're struggling with and praying for you right there in church before, after the service. And all that's all good. But if we come and do all that, but we never connect with Jesus, we have totally missed it. Amen. You get that? Missed it, man. All that stuff's good. I'm not saying we don't need it. But you understand the reason we are here is to worship, connect, hear from the head of the church. And I'm not it. It's Jesus. And if I don't faithfully do my part to
point you to him so that you have that. All those other things you experience, I want you to. But listen, most importantly, that you have that encounter with Jesus, man. That encounter with Jesus every single Sunday. That's why you've come. To worship him. Because he is the head of the church. Amen. Let's pray together. Time's got us. Father, I'm so thankful for this church, your church, Grace Point Church. Man, this is your church. These are your people, God. You established this church. You have grown this church. You sustain this church. And you will continue to do that. And without you, we are lost. We fail. We get tired. But you are the head of the church. You do not sleep. You do not slumber. You do not get weary. You have wisdom and power and glory. And you have our best at heart every second of every day. Because you are Jesus and you are the head of the church. So may we submit and bow our lives again to you, Father, in our church, but also in our lives, in our homes, in our hearts, in all that we do. Take these words, Lord, and teach us further, I pray, today and this week. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen and amen. Thank you, Grace Point Church Online, for joining us. Thank you for worshiping with us. Have a good week. I look forward to seeing you back here 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11 next Sunday morning. All right, Grace Point, let's stand together. Let me pray for you and pray over you, and then we'll be dismissed. Thank you so much for being here today. Let's pray together. Father, I'm thankful for this church, your church, for these people that make up Grace Point Church. We know, Father, that you have sustained us and continue to do so. I pray that in everything we do, God, every single thing that we do, that we are pointing to you. We are worshiping you. We are celebrating you. So I pray you'll bless these people as they go this week. And we look forward to regathering again next Sunday. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen and amen. God bless. Have a good week. We'll see you next Sunday morning. Jesus.